Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the NXT 2.0 review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Borey from What Culture to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT 2.0, but also AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage, as well as pay-per-views and premium live events. We also have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to review NXT 2.0. Once again, the Dudley Boys off sick together.
Ask questions.
People will start talking. We obviously wish them well in their recovery. But Andy, it's nice to have you on again to talk about NXT 2.0.
Cheers.
Not often that we get your thoughts on this show. What did you make of it?
It was. I've done that gimmick about seven times across the past 3 days on these shows.
It is WWE. I've asked you a lot about a lot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was exactly what you expect from an episode of NXT 2.0, wasn't it? There was some pretty competent wrestling, typically featuring the veterans of the scene. There were some big personalities. There was some pretty good stuff peppered in and out. And then there was some complete mayhem and chaos and interesting things occurring. Yeah, just the usual cast of veterans who are there to enhance the younger people. The younger people who are, some of them are getting there. Mm-hmm. Horniness
indeed
across the board, as always, for this show. They're trying to cater it to teenagers and people in their early 20s, and they're somehow attracting a horde of dirty old men who are a median age of 62 every week. It's crazy.
I have to say, I don't know whether it's just because my daddy is on here or what, but I had a bloody great time watching this show. Like you say, it was typical NXT 2.0, just bonkersness, which we will get into, with a weird sort of splashing of main roster throughout the show. We knew about Miz TV. We didn't know about the other stuff. We'll get into it. The show started, obviously, with Miz TV, as I mentioned there. Miz comes out. Dolph Ziggler is, of course, his guest, flanked by Robert Roode. And Miz, before he introduced him, said it feels good to be on NXT 2.0. He hypes up WrestleMania and his best mate, Logan Paul, who obviously gets booed facing the Mysterios. He said, last week, one man turned WrestleMania weekend upside down. He's a good friend. He's been an arch rival. And I had a flashback to that weird feud where they brought back some of the Spirit Squad for a brief second. But he said he asked Miz personally to come here and interview him. He obliged and he brings out Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. He asks Dolph how it feels to be NXT champion. And Dolph says, just right, after 15 years. and he welcomes Miz and Miz TV to his show. And they backslap each other. Miz says how good the title looks on Ziggler. And he loves how Dolph just waltzed in and managed to get Braun to give him a title match. And then they show a clip of Braun Breaker showing up earlier today at the Performance Center, fuming. He wants to get his hands on Ziggler, but he can't find him. And then apparently the coach has got him to leave again, and he scorches the tarmac of the car park driving away in his car. And Miz just goes, rookies, am I right? And Robert Roode, just because in case you're an idiot, explains what happened. Triple threat, no rules, etc. That's why we've got a new NXT champion. And Ziggler says, Braun's smart to leave and not come back. But he wants to talk about something more important than Braun Breaker, and that's himself. He says he's a fighting champion, he loves wrestling, but he doesn't do it for the accolades or the money. He's got loads of bloody money. Anyway, this brings out L.A. Knight. Yeah! He comes out. He gets an incredible reaction. I can't get over this every week.
To be fair, two rats could come out, have sex in the middle of the ring. Legit, like, vermin-type rats.
Yes.
And it would get a pop from this crowd. They're the easiest crowd of all time, but yeah. Yes.
He has to quiet them down and then drops a, let me talk to you. Yeah. He said he talked about running into Dolph backstage on Manara and said they could come down any given Tuesday. He's glad that they did. But since Bron isn't here to challenge for the title, he wants a shot. And Ziggler says, right, let's get one thing straight. I'm a fighting champion, but I only fight superstars. And Miz goes, yeah, you know what? This Dolph guy's got a point. You're a tremendous superstar, and you're going to be a major player, LA Knight. Just not yet. Just Google how old.
He's 39 years old.
Not quite yet.
That young, up-and-coming, sprightly rookie who's almost 40.
So Knight takes off his jacket and says, you know what? You're right, Miz. I'm not a superstar. I'm a damn megastar. Yeah! He says any day of the week he can take the title off him. Ziggler says it's his show. This is LA Knight saying, LA Knight says, Ziggler says it's your show. But he says, whose show is it? LA Knight, yeah! Basically, that means Ziggler's got something that belongs to him.
What a load of
Ziggler says that the champion only wrestles in the main event, and once LA Knight figures out where that is, he can find him. And then Miz announces, this is going to be the main event. Ziggler, Knight, NXT Championship, and it will be awesome.
Yeah, what an interesting way to start off your development show with four men who are either in their late 30s or early 40s. Eh? Average age of about 41 between these lads. It's funny. I guess if the goal, right, of NXT 2.0 is to ease the transition from developmental to main roster, then you might as well make your opening segment basically Raw.
Yep.
You had it all here, didn't you? You had the talk show with the heels being scuzzy. You had the guy interrupting to go, hold on a minute now. And then you had Miz suddenly inheriting magical matchmaking powers to make a main event that Dolph Ziggler didn't seem like he was all that into. Sure. It was what it was. I did feel like I was watching Raw. Very brave move of Bron Breakker, walking around in the most dangerous place in pro wrestling there. Might have bumped into the ghost of Hideo Itami if you looked a bit closer. But I mean, it's just a joy to watch LA Knight and his...
I love him.
His act. It's literally, LA Knight's gimmick is this sound console that you currently have in front of you where you press a button and it does the gimmick. Like, it would be a great game of bingo, like, or a drinking game. LA Knight catchphrase, because he just crowbars them in to every sentence. Even if it doesn't sound all that organic, he doesn't care. It's like the promo equivalent of getting his shit in.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I love it. You're just sitting there waiting for him to go, yeah, let me talk to you. Or, man, it's just a fact of life. It is in his weird hybrid Steve Austin, The Rock cadence. It's the guy is kind of, it could register as a parody if you were taking this too seriously. But I don't take it too seriously. And yes, he's certainly a man.
He got me very excited for the main event. I will say that. Although I never thought LA Knight was going to take the championship away from him, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah, it was a little warm up, wasn't it? Warm up for the main course, which was to come or is to come because they haven't done it yet. It's like Veer, it's still to come.
Mackenzie's backstage there with Cora Jade and talks about her attacking Mandy Rose, of course, on last week's show. And she said about them attacking Raquel Gonzalez during their Dusty Cup tag match. That's put her out to 4 to 6 weeks. And now she thinks that maybe Toxic Attraction are going to be after her now, especially because she somehow managed to steal their titles. She's got the two NXT Women's Tag Team titles and the NXT Women's Championship. And she's got a plan, which might have been my favorite thing on this entire show. But we won't reveal what it is yet. She just says that they are going to be pissed.
Can't trust those skaters, can you? They're always stealing, smoking their cigarettes and
not skating.
And yep. what
more on this a little bit later on, because this was a particular highlight for both of us, I think. Then we got the qualifying match for that North American Championship ladder match that goes down at Stand and Deliver for Carmelo Hayes' title. He was joined by Trick Williams to commentate on this, and they had a whale of a time watching. Yeah, Cameron Grimes, baby, to the moon. Versus Santos Escobar Really like these two in a ring together. Feeling out process early on. Grimes jumps over Escobar's leg sweep and tells him to kiss his grits. Love it. Grimes sends him outside, but of course Legado's got Mendoza and Wild and Electro Lopez out there. And that distracts Grimes, and that allows Escobar to take out his legs to take us to a break. When we come back, Grimes is sort of fighting back, but Escobar hits a top rope axe handle in the head for a two count. Grimes comes back, running forearm. Grimes hits a huge flip dive onto Escobar on the outside, and Grimes goes for a high crossbody, but it's countered nicely into a gutbuster for a near fall. He hits that beautiful running Spanish fly of his on Santos Escobar, but he kicks out, Escobar does, at two. He sets up to go for his brilliant cave-in finisher, but just before he hits it, he takes a split second to glance at the NXT North American champion, Carmelo Hayes, who's at ringside. That distraction, or moment's pause, allows Escobar to recover, and he reverses the cave-in into a phantom driver. 1, 2, 3, Escobar qualifies for the ladder match. Lovely stuff from these two.
Yeah, this was boringly very good, wasn't it? watching matches like this where it is, you know, it's a good time, it's a good match with some nice exchanges, particularly the finish. I thought that was a really nice counter, the cave-in. The cave-in is so counterable, it's great. It's not only like a really flashy, impactful move, but because he's literally leaping in the air to try and hit it and you're standing up, there's so much stuff you can do with it.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just like a guy coming off the top rope jumping into nothing, which is often the case when things get countered off the top rope. So yeah, it was obnoxiously good. Because I don't want to watch good matches when I watch NXT. I want to watch some of the other dirge that's elsewhere on this show. I'm being facetious there, of course. These are obviously two of the better wrestlers on the show on a weekly basis. I'm a bit disappointed that we're not going to get Cammy G doing a cave-in off the ladder, which is probably for the best, because that might be quite dangerous.
Yes.
Santos is a good guy to have in the match. He's not really a flippy dude guy. He can do that stuff, but he doesn't lean on it. Like, he's not out there doing spot fests every week. But I think he'll be a good guy to have in the match. I think his style will work well in there, and I think he'll hold it together. He's gonna be one of the most experienced people in it, regardless. So
yeah, he's so talented. I think we said before on the preview, we'd be happy for both of these guys to get into it. So yeah, maybe there's some sort of last chance saloon, you know, with all the losers, basically. Which also actually plays into the story of Cameron Grimes a little bit, which we'll get onto in a short while. But so I can't argue. As much as I'm gutted that Cameron Grimes for now isn't in it, can't argue with Santos Escobar in there. He's going to do some great stuff. Yeah. And probably Wild and Mendoza are going to take some rough bumps into ladders as well.
I mean, Lars Sullivan once had a 5-star ladder match in this company. So, you know, anything's possible.
MJF had a 5-star match, yeah.
I think to evoke the... No, he hasn't. No, no. Remember, one man's opinion is law. So
exactly. You
know, that's how it works.
We get a vignette.
We're not saying that, obviously.
No, we get a vignette from Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai talking about the fact they've got the Dusty Cup final next week, I believe. Common enemies, obviously with Toxic Attraction.
Everyone hates Toxic Attraction on the show, don't they? I mean, I can see why. But
yeah.
They're rascals.
They've teamed up, though, Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai. And they're going to win the titles. Toxic Attraction's reign will come to an end, says Shirai. That cuts then to Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai, the odd couple are backstage. Who loves orange soda? Wendy Chu apparently loves orange soda. Nice little 90s reference chucked in there.
Keenan and Kel.
I was definitely a Keenan and Kel boy.
Of course you were. It was a good show, to be fair.
Dakota's got some concerns heading into the final, but Wendy reassures her. And then in comes Toxic Attraction to ask if they've seen Cora Jade. They talk about injuring Raquel Gonzalez. And you've got Chu and Kai saying, do you know you didn't need to do that? And they say, well, you could just say thank you. You know, we put her out to 4 to 6 weeks or maybe even 8 to 10 weeks. Anyway, they're off to try and find Cora Jade. They're going to split up. And whoever finds her is going to leave a piece for the other two. I love intensity from Toxic Attraction.
Yeah, I did think that Wendy Chu's description of Toxic Attraction as hot but weird sums up NXT 2.0 in a nutshell, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You got guys like Carmelo Hayes and Santos Escobar walking around, objectively very handsome guys on this ridiculous, wacky environment.
Yeah.
Really hit the nail on the head, Wendy
Chu. Weird. It's like that.
Yeah. The average viewer is 62 years old. I'm sorry, I keep going to that point, but it's the Dirty Old Man show. You know, it is.
I just wish there was some evidence to back that up. Oh, wait, let's look at this segment later on with Indian Persia.
Yeah, Johnny Ace, hello.
anyway, let's rapidly move along to A Kid's NXT debut against Kushida.
Thank God they got him out of the Enfield warehouse, man. No place for kids.
And they announced before this match, a qualifier for a qualifying match. The winner was going to face Grayson Waller in the ladder match. Early on, it was briefer than I anticipated. Well, it wasn't briefer than I anticipated. It was briefer than I'd hoped for this. Yes. Test of strength early on. Kushida flips out of a head scissors. Arm drag into a drop kick. Kushida gets taken down by the arm. Kushida gets sent into the ropes because, again, A-Kid's target in the arms. But he fights back. He's got a Boston Crab. A-Kid hits a German suplex and a Northern Light suplex for two. And A-Kid rapidly gets the victory via a springboard moonsault DDT that you were thrown by, let's just say.
Yeah, the bump was a little bit weird, but I'm not one to, like, harp on botches. I'm not one of those weird guys who has a Twitter account dedicated to, like, disgracing other people's work
when we've never stepped in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a guy who gets tired, you know, climbing the stairs. So,
yes.
You know, I'm not one of those dudes, like, it is whatever.
The brief thing that I saw of A-Kid, though. I said I'd heard a lot of good things about him.
Yeah, he's a very good wrestler, which is worrying because there's absolutely no place for a very good wrestler with no real, like, without that stupid character. It's not going to be long in this brand before he's turned into, like, a postman or something. And he's walking around going, the postman always delivers before he hits a finisher, which is somehow to do with mail. It was about the lower end of a match you're going to get from these two because it was just 5 minutes or whatever. But yeah, it was snappy. It was good. It was snug. Kushida is someone who's always going to do a great job of working well with people coming in and making them look good. Not that A-Kid needs help looking good in the ring, but Kushida is obviously an excellent dance partner. It's just so weird watching Kushida when he wrestles here in NXT 2.0 because you see him in the gear and it's basically identical to his New Japan gear with the shorts and all of that stuff. And then the camera cuts outside and you see Jiro in the jacket and you're like, oh God, yeah, they do that gimmick where they hang around in toilets and do poos and stuff and like wear jackets. It's a weird world. What is this man doing with his life? I want to know. Like, not Jiro, he's always been kind of a wacky character. I remember him doing like cartwheels in a jacket when he was wrestling on the Japanese indies in like Wrestle One and stuff. But, like, what is Kushida doing with his career here? He's such a great wrestler. He's doing this dumbass gimmick. And his role on TV here is enhancement guy for an NXT UK wrestler. It's just such a shame to see what's become of him. Maybe he's happy there. And that's how you've always got to kind of look at these things. But creatively, I'm not too sure that guy's fulfilled right now.
No, I'm going to agree with you on that one.
It was a good little match.
Yes, exactly. Just wish they'd had more time, if I'm honest. Backstage with Legado del Fantasma, I'm going to need your help on this one, Andy. Can you play the role of Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza in amongst this, please?
Yes.
So Legado del Fantasma there. Mackenzie congratulates Escobar on qualifying for the ladder match. He says he's the greatest luchador of all time and Stand and Deliver is his time to shine, basically. He's going to become the new North American champion. And then here come Rey and Dominic. The Mysterios are in NXT. Escobar shakes his hand and Dominic says, I think you'll find the greatest luchador of all time is my dad, Rey Mysterio. And Rey says, hey, and don't forget, Dominic's the guy who's going to, he's the future. He's going to be one of the biggest stars. He's going to break all the records. And Raul and Joaquin brilliantly say,
Dominic? Tremendous.
This riles him up. Tremendous. He says, well, I didn't come to NXT to talk, and he's going to fight whoever fancies it in Legado. And Raul Mendoza thankfully steps forward, and Santos says, you just made a big mistake. Nice to see the Mysterios in NXT.
Yeah, it's almost,
maybe leave Dominic down there.
It's almost like somebody predicted this on a podcast, didn't they? Adam Wilborn, good job. Dominic, being kind, he could probably use some time hanging out down here, couldn't he? Mm. Maybe. If he hangs about with Legado a bit more, they'll give him some charisma. that was really harsh.
Wilde and Mendoza are two of the most underrated guys on NXT 2.0.
They're great wrestlers. They're very handsome and they're very funny.
Yeah.
That was so... Because that's like exactly how I would react. Dominic! What are you talking about, Rey? You silly sausage.
We're talking about the same guy.
Yeah.
Who's Rey's son, the one who needs to colour in his gear, that one.
Yeah. Fine little backstage interaction to set up the match later on. I would love to see Ray have a big match in NXT. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's still great and he's a star and people love him. And he could, the younger wrestlers on this brand could learn a lot from Rey Mysterio, for sure.
And Santos versus Ray.
That would be sensational.
But could be one of the best NXT 2.0 matches ever.
Sign me up, baby.
Speaking of which, we then got
Saray
versus Tiffany Stratton. Saray's
this bag of rubbish.
Saray is making her way to the ring, and she's looking, Andy, take this seriously, she's looking at her magical necklace to give us, I don't know, encouragement. But, and this is key, which was pointed out on commentary, so they want us to know this, Tiffany Stratton jumps her from behind. She beats her up. She beats her through the entranceway, to which Vic Joseph says, oh no, Saray is unable to transform. That's pretty much verbatim
like
what he said.
Stars in their eyes.
So she's got a wrestling schoolgirl costume, to which I'm sure some of the viewers went, well, not all bad news.
Oh, the perverts, yes. Yeah.
Strand stomps her in the corner. Saray goes, gets a bit in. She goes to that dropkick against the ropes, but Strand's in control. She does that handspring splash in the corner, the sort of corkscrew Vader bomb finisher of hers, which is a nice finisher, by the way.
It's really good. She's very athletic.
Yes, gets her the victory in a very brief match, and this feud is seemingly set to continue.
What a load of pish. I'm just sitting there watching this. And obviously we've seen Saray do the ring entrance before, where she's magically transformed into a wrestler from a
Japanese
schoolgirl.
She was before, right?
Yeah, exactly. But in this context, it's like, oh no, she couldn't transform.
Power Ranger.
She got jumped before she could walk through the magical smoke that transforms her into a wrestler. You're supposed to suspend you. Is this?
Do you know what I was hoping? Can I tell you what I was hoping?
What's that?
Yeah, you know, not to. You know the fly, where a bloke goes into a teleportation thing and a fly goes in and they sort of merge. I wanted, when Stratton walked through, her to be suddenly wearing Saray's gear as well. Like, oh no, I walk through the smoke too.
NXT 2.0 as written by Franz Kafka. This is just like, it's so funny, man. Like, I don't trust anyone who sits there and earnestly criticizes this because it's just too silly. Mm. I love it. I like unapologetically love it because it's the worst, but it's also the best.
Mm.
Just like some of the other stuff on this show. Once again, Saray's a really good wrestler, and I'd like to see her do more.
Indeed.
Tiffany Stratton is a funny gimmick.
Do you remember when, a while back, when WWE seemingly paid for a lease on a shark cage and went, oh, better get our money's worth out of this?
Yes, they used
And they
to.
Had, like, five things.
They had Enzo, they had, have I forgotten?
Jericho up there once?
Paul Ellering. Yes, I think so.
For like an Owens match, maybe?
My Swiss cheese brain doesn't really retain information anymore, but I think so, yeah.
I think what they've done now is they've rented a pole for the crowd. It was a crowbar and a pole match, wasn't it, with Tony
that's right,
and
that's right, that's right.
And so I think they've gone magical necklace and a pole match?
They might do that. Is that going to turn Tiffany Stratton into something else when she grabs it?
I hope so.
Is this a Transformer gimmick? Is it a Pokemon gimmick? Like, where the thing is a Pokeball... Because they transform, don't they? Or do they evolve? I don't know.
Pikachu. I choose a yeah.
I'm more of a Charizard. What's your favorite Pokemon?
I'm genuinely, I love Diglett.
Diglett. Mine's Diglett. Naruto.
Naruto.
No, I'm joking. Mine is...
Is that the run? Genuinely.
That's the one that does the run. That's the anime that does the run.
The manga.
My favorite Pokemon is Snorlax.
Makes sense.
Big, sleepy boy, just like me. So
lovely stuff.
Love his philosophy. But yes, this match was
fair.
Yeah, and Tiffany Stratton is a Pokemon, apparently. That's the and she loves anime. That's our conclusion here. Cool. All right. Anime. Go and say it in her voice. Go on.
Anime.
There we are. Okay.
LA Knight gets confronted by Gunther backstage. who accused him of getting his title shot by you. Talking and not by any skill. He doesn't respect LA Knight. And Knight sort of jaw jacks with him, saying he'll give him his first title shot after he wins. They start insulting each other. And Knight says, you know, you've got the sports, but I've got the sports entertainment. And walks off.
Like a crap version of Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston, isn't it?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I laughed audibly at Gunther calling LA Knight a disgrace. Was it? No, an embarrassment to this great sport. Mate, your name's Gunther. You're named after Well, you're named after either the coffee shop owner from Friends or a Nazi, as we've covered on the news, which WWE then backed off on by removing the Stark part of it. And yes, we know this story. Yeah, this was silly, but they're setting up LA Knight for a match with a guy who's inexplicably now the third most interesting dude in his stable. Quite interesting how quickly Walter has gone from like one of the most uniquely captivating wrestlers in the world to just a guy in a polo shirt.
Just an angry, grumpy foreigner.
Yeah, that's what they've made him.
Yep.
That's what they've made him. And meanwhile, I mean, maybe Gunther should get some LA Knight catchphrases. Like, what do you reckon he could say instead of, yeah? Imagine him pulling that off.
Nine.
Hello.
Guten Tag.
Hi. Yes, hello. I'm Gunther. Oh, dear. Wow. Ring Kampf. That was the name of the stable. Is that still going? I don't know. We're on a total tangent here. WXW, hello.
Yes.
Axel Dieter Jr. Shut up, Andy. Axel Dieter Jr. There we go.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's talk about my favorite bit of this entire show. There was a stretch that I really enjoyed. This was the first bit, a bit that I can only describe as Cora Jade home aloning all of Toxic Attraction, or at least attempting to. See, JC Jane is walking backstage. She's trying to find Cora Jade, but she spies just hanging above the rafters her NXT tag team title. And she looks around, no Cora Jade to be seen. And she checks whether or not there's any booby traps or anything like that. And she jumps up and she grabs the NXT title, pulls it down, but it's on a string, which is attached to some doors, which she subsequently then locks JC Jane in a bit of the warehouse, basically. This was genius.
Human mousetrap.
Yes.
What was going on here. What a bit of business this was. The wackiest, dumbest thing I've seen on TV this week. Because, you know, I can't say of all time because stuff like this happens every week. Catching a human from a mechanism attached to a belt that's hanging down and then the door's closed. It's ridiculous.
How did they all get out?
It was the implication later on that Mandy had figured out what was going on, rescued them, and then hid in the car and beaten
a lot of work. Up.
Yeah. I choose not to connect the dots when it comes to NXT because it's so silly. But, man, what a tonal shift.
I think the second one of these was my favorite, so we'll wait till we get to that.
As scripted by AJ Styles. But we'll cover why when we get to it. It's not what you think it is.
We get Tommaso Ciampa. Oh, man, Ciampa comes out with a kind of promo.
What a tonal shift. Yeah. Going from Cora Jade playing Mousetrap to Old Man Ciampa.
Old Man Ciampa, he gives me the creeps.
Guy's like, we're talking like he's 60.
So he comes out and he talks about gratitude. He says still sometimes looks around and takes it all in. This is his life. It's been his life. He's been doing it for 17 years. Or he wanted to find a place he could call home, somewhere that they'd believe him and give him the opportunity to prove he could be the guy. He's always had the feeling that if he was given the opportunity to run with the ball, he'd take that opportunity. And that came in WWE, in NXT. We all know that this success didn't come easily or immediately. Things in life worth fighting for seldom do. He talked about being here since 2016. Get a thank you, Ciampa chant, and lots of chants for him throughout this. He says, we recaps the last, six, 7 years, whatever it is. DIY, Blackheart, the greatest NXT champion of all time, all that. He said he'd love to call it a do-it-yourself story, but it was never about that because he always has had us to do it with him, cheer him, boo him at his best. He talks about that entrance he made in New Orleans, coming out, no music, deafening boos. He said at that moment they knew they were all creating a moment and Ciampa could be the guy. Ups and downs, I'm a Miller, long journey in NXT, setbacks, surgeries, black and gold to Dubai. Never left, fans didn't either. That's gratitude. Doesn't know exactly where to go from here. He thought if the chapter would close, then he'd know. And he thought more so than any time before where on earth his fairy tale ending would be. Talked about, you know, challenging for the title and not getting it back, basically. He says, walking into a show like Stand and Deliver as champ sounded like a fairy tale ending, but it just didn't happen. Now, these last 7 days, he's been thinking about what's next, what he does. Is there a perfect way to close this one out? A crowd chants one more match. He doesn't have the answer, though. It's not in often in life, he says, that you get a chance to say thank you before it's too late. He's not going to miss it. He says, for the last 7 years or whatever it is, for everyone in the arena, everyone at home, thank you. And then who should rise up behind him but Tony D'Angelo? And he's got himself a crowbar, but doesn't use it. He drops the crowbar, gets himself a mic, and he says, Andy,
Tommaso Ciampa, you see, I could have did a thing. I could have hit you in the back of the head with a crowbar. But this is different. You see, I respect you. I respect you enough to come in this ring face to face, man to man. And I've been thinking to myself for a couple of weeks, who do I gotta beat to put Tony D'Angelo in the history books? Who can make me the man in NXT? Who do I gotta beat? And here I stand in front of that guy. Now, you've been the man, you've been the face of NXT for a while now. And I think, you know what, I think it would be an honor for the family if you would throw hands with Tony D'Angelo at NXT Stand and Deliver. What do you say? Ciampa considers it. And he accepts Tony D'Angelo's challenge. He accepts his handshake. And Tony D'Angelo, doing his best MJF impression, low blows Ciampa. And whilst Ciampa's crumpled to the floor on his knees, Tony grabs him by the face and he says, it was always you, Tommaso. It was you. And at NXT Stand and Deliver, I become the new Don of NXT.
By beating another Italian guy.
Mm. I mean, he gives him the kiss of motherfucking death.
What? Thoughts? They go to this well quite often, don't they? The retirement into a heat angle. They just did it with Johnny Gargano. So in a way, it's kind of appropriate that, or the stepping away, not retirement,
yes.
Whatever. So it's quite appropriate in a way that they do it with his DIY tag team partner, or his old tag team mm-hmm. partner.
Who better than Tony D?
Who huh? better than Tony D? Hey, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, it's a pretty good promo, right?
Yeah.
You expect that from old man Ciampa. It did take me a while to settle into it because I was splitting my sides from Cora Jade's mousetrap. get into this. They have this pretty clear direction with Tony D'Angelo, don't they? Where it's like he's working with the more experienced. He's working with the old guys,
yes.
Old men. Old men like Pete Dunne, who's like 27 or something.
Butch. I changed him. He became Butch now,
yeah.
Huh?
Oh, Tony D'Angelo is the fiend. He changed Pete Dunne. Great. Now he's going to work with Ciampa. Theoretically, hoping that they can get some of that old dude magic to rub off on him. Yeah, here we go. It is what it is. This stuff does lose effectiveness. I think if you do it too often, which they are now on the verge of doing, like, I've had a great run here, I'm leaving, but I don't know what's next. And then you do the heat angle with Tony D playing Grayson Waller. I did enjoy Tony kind of rising up in the background like he's Keith Lee or something. That was
a great one.
Funny.
Was it Drew McIntyre who did that against Taker a while
yeah,
back?
Yeah, I think that was in the Graveyard Dogs match, which was awesome. You know, I don't know if you've discussed this on the podcast before, but do you know what Tony D'Angelo's real name is?
Yes, I think so. But
Joe Areola. Literally, you could just call him Tony Tits.
Clearly, their name was hung heavy in the titty.
There you go.
of Tony D. Mixed emotions about this. The promo was great. Obviously, anything involving Tony D is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's instant 5 stars.
But it's ruined our game. And I had so much fun with that game yesterday. No offense, but I hope Tony D'Angelo... Sorry, I hope Tommaso Ciampa doesn't recover from his cock bruising and instead Ken Shamrock shows up.
Well, you know what? Cue up Barry. Because...
Oh, hang on. Oh, wait a second. Because...
They might have ruined the game, but...
We're gonna do it anyway.
Yes. I don't know if you have the page loaded. We haven't prepared for this. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I love it.
Okay.
The segments just kept getting better because then we got Persia Prota versus Indy Hartwell in the match that WWE themselves dubbed as, who's the better woman? and it was such a surreal match, this. So they make their entrance together like they're a tag team, but they're sort of like, do you remember they did it for a while with, was it Peyton Bloody Royce and Lacey Bloody Evans, where they'd like be like, get out of my way, you're in my way, I'm doing my big entrance thing. But it's these two who used to be a tag team, but now they're feuding because of all the bloody cack.
Lacey Evans did it for about 6 months, it felt like. Rubbish.
So yeah, they're bickering on the way to the ring. They do shake hands, but it very quickly turns into a shoving match. Persia sends Indy into the corner, pushes her into the ropes. Big Boot gets a 2 count. Snake Eyes clothesline, another near fall. Perotta goes after Hartwell's wedding ring. That's a big no-no. That fires Hartwell up. Perotta is bad-mouthing Indy Hartwell's relationship. Doesn't want to bloody talk to you, she says.
Don't talk to anyone. It's fine.
Yeah, Duke Hudson's there at ringside because, of course, the men have to be around this.
Oh, my God.
But in the midst of all this, Dexter Lumis pops out from underneath the ring, and this distraction allows Hartwell to slip out of a fireman's carry and roll up Persia Prota for the 1-2-3. Post-match, though, this clearly isn't over because there's a sort of face-off. On one side, you've got Duke Bloody Hudson and Persia Bloody Prota. And on the other hand, you've got Indy Bloody Hartwell and Dexter Gaylord Lumis, of course. And they have a sort of a PDA off.
A shag off.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's sort of neck on, and then the other one necks on a bit more. And then Indy rips open Dexter's shirt and necks on. Yeah, yeah. And then the other two neck on a bit more. And then Indy sort of straddles Dexter. This is going to be a mixed tag, probably.
Yeah, well, I thought it was quite appropriate that Vic Joseph introduced this by going, hey, Stu, have you seen Corey and Carmella?
Oh, yeah.
A show which is entirely about fucking. So
yeah.
Here, I'm not as good as silencing the F as Stu Campbell. And then you end up with this. What a preposterous.
I'd love it if Stu had just said, no one has.
No one watches that. What are you talking about here, Vic, in your cool guy jacket?
Unless they want to get a...
Hey, there you go, in that grotty shower of theirs. Is Duke Hudson now being dubbed the sexiest man in NXT, or is that just a thing that Stu Bennett said? I don't know. Either way.
Probably.
They went for it. I thought he was sexier before he shaved his head, to be honest. Now, I don't know, Duke. Maybe grow the hair back. Maybe. I don't say that to many men, but, you know, bald guys rule. preposterous, this, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what on earth? What on earth, man?
Summit and nothing.
Yeah, you're snogging him better than I'm snogging him. So we're going to be one step away from Edge and Lita. What on earth? What a load of nonsense. Really puts the soap opera in pro wrestling, this, doesn't it? Although, that being said, rubbish.
Speaking of which, Gigi Dolin was out in the parking lot. And she spied a very well-lit women's tag team title.
You got to set lighting up around the bin.
But because you can't, what can't you do, Andy? You can't put your belt in your bin.
Shout out to AJ.
So she's trying to, it's on the top of the dumpster, basically.
Yeah.
She can't reach it. So she's got to get into the,
instead of
garbage bin.
Instead of going around the side.
Yeah. Can't reach it, mate. So she has to climb in. She gets it. Like, bloody hell, thank God for that. And then Cora Jade shuts the lid on her, traps her in the bin, and pins the lid down through the use of a forklift truck before saying the iconic line, "I can't hear you. I didn't know trash could speak." This was excellent.
Great to see Drake Wirtz making his NXT return in the form of in the form of the thing that Gigi Dolan was put in here.
All it needed to be was on fire.
Yes. What a ridiculous thing, man. The best, worst stuff ever, isn't it? Just literally putting someone in a perfectly lit bin that just happens to be set up. Where did Cora Jade get her forklift driver's license from?
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't care. She put her in the bin, mate. What more do you
want?
When
she should have been skateboarding, that's when she got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's a better forklift driver than she is a skater. It's preposterous. What more do you want me to say?
It was great. This is why I love NXT 2.0. Yeah. And this is one of those things I really hope the Dudleys don't watch this week's episode. I sincerely think that Sidgwick won't, because he doesn't legally have to for work.
10 years from now, I mean, Hamlet will be 80, but 10 years from now, you'll be doing stuff like this for a 5-star review.
Oh, unquestionably.
It's just a riot.
I just want to see their faces when I say, oh yeah, did you not see what happened last week with Cora Jade and Toxic Attraction?
Although it's extremely dangerous putting people in bins in WWE. Not only do you have like incidents like Shane McMahon putting Kane in a bin that's on fire, but it wasn't so long ago that a main roster WWE pay-per-view featured a literal bin monster eating the Viking
that
Raiders.
Happened, didn't it? That wasn't me going delirious in the pandemic.
Nope. I believe it was the same segment that Omos was dressed as the giant
big ninja. Yeah,
so yep, very reckless game you're playing there, Cora Jade. I mean, Gigi Dolan is lucky she didn't come out as just a bag of bones from that monster.
And when Ivar was irresistible to women,
super stupid sexy Ivar, I remember it well. It was the referees over in particular.
Yeah, they Jessica Carr had a bit of a thing for him.
Couldn't resist Ivar.
Right, then we got Raul Mendoza versus Dominic Mysterio. Enjoyable, this. They counter each other. Dom hits a shot to the head, springboard arm drag, drop kick, spinning Rana from him, but he goes up top. And then, as anticipated, this is when Legado starts to use their influence on the match. Electra Lopez jumps up on the apron to distract him. That allows Mendoza, looks like an absolute piece, as you said.
He's
off
a
air.
Specimen, man.
He hits a leaping kick to Dom's head. But Fallon Henley, off of, I think, working at a bar a few weeks back, but also being mates with Boris Johnson or whatever they're called, she pulls Lopez off the apron. There's Brooks and Johnson. And Ray hits Escobar. Yes, please, more of that sort of thing. And that allows Dom to trip Mendoza into the ropes. 619, frog splash, 1, 2, 3. And Brooks and Johnson and Henley, they celebrate with the Mysterios after the match.
Really nice celebration there from Bogus Bunsen Bean. I mean, just how do you pick something like this apart? It was just a short TV match with 7 interferences that ended in a cathartic babyface victory, theoretically. I did think it was kind of funny. One of the commentators went, "Oh, what a feeling it must be for Dominic Mysterio to win via interference against a mid-card tag team guy." Okay, what an achievement. I thought it was quite ironic that Raul Mendoza's the one in developmental here.
Yep.
Like, there's a pretty big gap between him and Dom. And I mean that with the utmost respect, because, like, Dom's obviously good for where he is experience-wise. But Raul Mendoza's really, really good. And a lot more charismatic and better in the ring. But they did okay together. And then there was, like, 12 tropes. And I feel like I'm reviewing Raw again.
We had another lovely video tribute to Scott Hall. And then Cora Jade is in the parking lot. She's got the NXT Championship. She's got a can of spray paint, which Phil pointed out is covered in duct tape, because we can't have brand names on this show, of course.
Do you want to know the real reason it was covered in tape?
Was that?
It wasn't spray paint. It was that white fake snow stuff you put on your window at Christmas. She had some left over, put it to good use.
Yeah. And she spots, it's not her car. In other words,
it wasn't my car.
It's Mandy Rose's car. And she says, oh, it'd be a shame if something happens to that. And then she thinks better of it and decides to steal the car, I think. Joyriding instead of spray paint, whatever.
She should be in jail.
Mm. She gets in. Pops the title down on the passenger seat, and has a brief moment of reflection and realizes, why am I doing all this? Why am I Kevin McAllister in Toxic Attraction when I should be going after the NXT title. But of course, Undertaker-esque Mandy Rose is in the car. Where to, Cora? My favourite part of this was when she slammed her head against the horn.
Yeah.
And it made a popping noise.
All of these segments would have actually been enhanced for comedy sound effects. Like, whip, bong, bang, go and do something. You can probably do
them. Yeah, probably got them.
You got them on here? Let's do it.
Well, of course, she hit Cora and Cora went...
What part of the body did she hit her on?
Egg.
Sounds a little bit like...
Hey, you know.
So the fight spills out of the car. Cora fights back, but she just gets the crap kicked out of her. Mandy calls her Little Cora Jade. She said she'd fight anyone for the title, but Cora isn't on her level and never will be. Mandy gets the spray paint, and I don't know if she actually meant to spray, like, was it meant to be spraying TA or something? NWO? It's NWO sort of thing.
Yeah. But it ended it's up a just little like, tribute.
It's a big white smudge on Cora Jade's back, basically. Up come Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. Again, no idea how they got out of where they were, but Mandy says, game over, bitch.
She said, bitch. That's going to bring in the young viewers. I thought that when Mandy Rose popped out, in the back that we were going to witness a brutal murder at NXT. Like, she got a piano wire and she was going to kill this woman. I was like, what? That's a total shift. It's preposterous, but we had a good time. We had a good time.
Love these series. You know, talk about a nice through line throughout the show. This is what I'm talking about.
Legacy of the Riot Squad lives on in Cora Jade. She was one.
Fear less, more. Fear more.
Fear more, Nikki. Nice cup of coffee you got there, guy. What if I dropped it? Remember that time they cut someone's tie?
I was about to say the tie thing.
Well, so they smashed a laptop?
Yeah.
Rebels.
Didn't they slag off thingies, penchant for like superheroes or something?
They did. The guy, you dork, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Superhero. Well, a supervillain. You know that what was it, wasn't it? Some bollocks.
It's pop punk retribution written by your dad. That's what this is. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's so out of touch, but it's class.
So the Kree brothers are fired up. I said this on the preview yesterday. I love a whodunit. Yeah. I don't really care what it's in. Films, TV, wrestling, don't care. Give me a whodunit.
Because the answer is always Eric Rowan's body double.
Remember when he had a spider?
Yeah. I love Eric Rowan. Eric Redbeard rules.
Yes. So they're furious. They said until they figure out who attacked them last week, heads are going to roll. And they say to whoever their attackers are, why don't you just come out and face us? And this brings out MSK. And Wade goes... I knew it on commentary. They've got NWO shirts, another lovely nod, as we mentioned. But Wesley says, you do realise this isn't us confessing to it. Just to clarify, we didn't attack you. We stood up for you. But instead, you ruined our tag team title match. Malcolm Bivens, put more Malcolm Bivens on my screen, says there's no more line cutting. And they're arguing back and forth when Imperium pop up in that Eagle's Nest thing that they used to have for William Regal. I quite like two best parts of Imperium here. Marcel Bartel said it's hilarious that they are arguing over something that basically is never going to happen, i.e. defeating them for the tag team titles. Eichner says none of them got the talent to beat them. Bivin says, why don't you come out of here and get beat? And Lee says, whoa, we deserve the opportunity just as much. And he says, well, to be fair, at least the Creeds are down here. Eichner says, well, I don't really agree that any of you are deserving. You failed to prove yourselves. But you know what? Why don't we have a triple threat match for the titles at NXT Stand and Deliver? And he says, Bartel says, Bivens, you love to talk about reality and perception. Perception is they're going to be at a disadvantage in a triple threat. But the reality is, Imperium fears no one. This match is going to be a ripper.
A ripper! So it is, aye. That's a very offensive impression you just did.
Indeed.
But yes. The Creed brothers talk exactly like they wrestle and how they look, which is good. It's all muscles and protein and shouting and testosterone.
No nuance.
It's great. It's like, hey, someone attacked us. Who was it? Yeah, we could beat you up, drop your head. It's great.
Some egg whites.
It's great. I love these guys so much. They're just dumb jock energy. All over the place. It's great stuff. And it's a really simple wrestling angle, isn't it? We got beaten up, so we're pissed. MSK, they want a shot at the gold. But Malcolm Bivens says they cut the line, so they have opposing goals. And then you have Imperium, who are just above all this stuff. So they're on the little perch. We're not going to brawl with you, you uncouth little... guys. Why did I call the Creed brothers little? They're gigantic. but yes, it's, yeah. It was. I mean, it was a competent wrestling angle on a show that is bearing a closer resemblance to Pat Sharp's Funhouse last week.
I will say this. We are on a roll with triple threat matches across the board. AEW and WWE, they've been putting good, on really absolute good bangers. And if they can be anything like the tag team title match for the Raw tag team titles from the other week, I'm well up for this. And there's just a lovely dynamic there with Imperium being Matt Sacred, Creed Brothers being, I'll chuck you all over the place, and MSK being, we'll jump all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. I think it's going to be a great match at Stand
Yeah,
at
I think it's set up to be a really tremendous, and this word isn't always a dirty word, spot fest.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun.
Sad moment came next. Mackenzie's backstage with Cameron Grimes. Not even going to do the thing for this because I'm in a mood.
To the moon.
He said he's disappointed. He's going to be stuck at home watching Stand and Deliver. He says the last thing he got to tell his father was when he signed to NXT that he was going to be champion, but he keeps disappointing and he wanders off. I'm intrigued. I'm sad, but I'm intrigued by this.
Wonder if they're going to, I mean, this is a silly proposition. I wonder if they're going to make him a more serious character coming out of this. But then I remember the show I'm watching. Of course they're not. No. He's going to come back as, I mean, I've already used a postman. What kind of job's he going to get? What kind of profession can we give him?
Okay.
Hit a random profession.
Weird generally. Profession.
Yeah. An octagon. That's
he
a shape.
He will be a snake milker. There you go.
Right. I mean, are snake milkers not the type of viewers that
that's
NXT are trying to draw in with Indeed. This horny content?
I like this because they might have Googled this for NXT
milker.
Before. I've Googled weird professions and it's come up with the 10 weirdest jobs in the world. I can only see 10 to 3 for some reason. But 10 is, see what this reminds you of, professional sleeper.
Wow, Wendy. There she is.
They've also got professional mourner, which I quite like.
Gee whiz. God almighty. I'm just thinking about snake milker. Can you milk a snake? How do you do that?
I think it's to do with, I think I've seen it before. It's when they've used them on like Jackass or whatever.
Ah.
They put their fangs in that jar thing that milks the venom out of
it. It's not milk. Right, okay.
I wouldn't be necking it. Yeah, I wouldn't be putting it on your cereal.
Do you know what? Do you remember ZZ, who won Tough Enough a few years ago?
Vaguely, yes.
He was on Breaking Point quite a lot, and he couldn't get it together, and Billy Gunn gave him a row that time.
Yes.
A video popped up on my, and this combines two of our loves, it's great. A video popped up on my YouTube recommended this morning about what he's doing now. And
oh.
It wasn't even produced by WWE. Do you want to, I'll give you three guesses. And it combines two of our great loves in The Office.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you that. Obviously, one of them is wrestling.
Beans? That's Sidgwick, really, more
not,
than us.
Not beans, but I'll take that as one of your guesses. Specific day of the week.
Oh, crocodiles. Friday.
Flatfks.
Yeah.
So he runs an alligator farm.
Yes!
Now. Tremendous stuff.
Wonderful.
Tremendous stuff. He's like feeding it. He's like wrestling it and stuff. I'm like, you're a crazy guy.
I'm going to look that up. That sounds great.
Yeah. And in 2 days' time, it'll be.
It will be the day.
But Friday,
yeah.
Effing loser.
right, there's two more of our favourite guys backstage next. Idris Enofe and Malik Blade.
These guys rule so much.
The fact that he doesn't wear a shirt at all. He's just, I mean, if I had that body, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's more of an investigation into who attacked the Creed brothers. And Malcolm Bivens is there. And they say, look, yeah, we did attack people last week, but that was just the waiters in the Toxic Lounge or whatever they were called, so they could just get close to Mandy Rose. That's their alibi, basically. In come, they're here, they're back. Good to see them back. I'm worried what's going to happen to them next week, though. The grizzled young veterans. They say, hey, we didn't need to see those Creed brothers out. Anyway, it's set up that we're getting the Creeds versus the grizzled young veteran next week. My hope is that grizzled young veterans win, and then it becomes a fatal four-way. And then that gives me a chance to see Grizzly Veterans win the tag titles, which they should have done a long time ago. My worry is that they're just going to be cannon fodder to say, look at what the Creed Brothers can do before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's what they're
Sorry,
hearing.
Premium live event.
Premium live event. That's what the company sees them as now. They're enhancement guys now.
Imagine looking at those two.
I know. And the way they talk as well.
James like, and Zach, both of them just,
Gibson
man.
On the microphone is like guaranteed heat.
James Drake's so talented too.
I know. But they're enhancement guys now. They're like in that Ciampa bracket, aren't they? Where that's a bad example because Ciampa got the belt. Mm. But they're there to lift up the younger guys, and that's what they'll do against the Creed brothers, although physically lifting those guys will be difficult.
Mm.
Although Zach's quite tall, so, you know.
They'll just get him on the main roster and do bloody British invasion. Well, British and Irish invasion, I should say.
Yeah, let's do it.
With Sheamus and Ridge Blue Holland and Butch.
Butch. Do you reckon they can
So there's going to be Sheamus, Ridge, Butch, Drake... and Scouse.
Fowler. Robbie.
Right, main event time. NXT Championship on the line. Dolph Ziggler versus L.A. Knight.
Yeah!
Back and forth early on. Knight hits a power slam quite early to get a nice near fall. When we go to that takes us into a break, but when we come back, Ziggler's working overnight. He's taking control. Knight has to fight out of a sleeper. He drives Ziggler on his back into the corner. He counters the Famouser, power bombs him, stomps him in the corner. He gets a jumping elbow for a two count, and we cut to the back when who is showing up but Stone Cold, sorry, Bron Breakker, who's here to kick some ass. We cut back to the match. LA Knight. Nails a superplex on Ziggler. Nice near fall off the back of that as well. Ruse tries to interfere, but it initially backfires. He counters and manages to hit a version of a sort of burning hammer on Ziggler. But Ziggler's foot either goes onto the bottom rope or gets put on the bottom rope, depending on who you ask, by Robert Roode. And the referee stops the count. And then there's a bit where they just keep counting each other's signature moves, including LA Knight going for the BFT. But he gets sent into, or he misses a charge in the corner, turns around, super kick from Ziggler, 1-2-3. He retains the NXT Championship. And then it's all about the post-match because Bron Breakker storms down to the ring to confront Dolph Ziggler. Robert Roode tries to step in and stop him from, well, he wants to demand a title match at Stand and Deliver, and he gets chinned, Robert Roode does, by Bron Breakker. And Ziggler holds up the title and seemingly accepts for Stand and Deliver. Major NXT Standard Deliver developments on this show, particularly this one. What did you make of the main event?
It was pretty much exactly what we expected, really, wasn't it? From the moment the opening segment panned out the way it is, you could have scripted this in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone who's never watched wrestling before could probably have scripted it in their head. But yeah, it was fine. Like, the main event was fine. Wasn't nothing blow away or anything like that, but it was a perfectly functional main event. And theoretically, a decent scalp for Dolph Ziggler to take before he goes to Stand and Deliver and presumably loses the belt to Bron Breakker. I mean, it's the easy. I've said this earlier in the show, but this is the easiest crowd in the world to please if they're chanting, "This is awesome," at this pretty good TV main event. The finish was quite well done. Like, I did like the way Dolph Ziggler outsmarted him, like outcrafted him veteran stuff.
Yeah.
Although it's very interesting that he's the crafty veteran and LA Knight is the, like, the making these rookie mistakes. He's just not as experienced as him.
Not quite there yet, mate.
Yeah, you're not quite there. Even though you're only 2 years younger than Dolph, and you've actually got 2 years more wrestling experience, but you're not quite there yet, pal. It's
like when they did that with Owens, you remember, on the main roster? When Cena was like, welcome, rookie. And he was like, I've been wrestling longer than you have, pal.
I've probably had twice the amount of matches as you, John. And we've said this loads of times before, but they're marketing or going to market Stand and Deliver around the idea that you might pay a ticket to see Bron Breakker regain his championship.
Exactly. I can't hate on that.
Yeah, it's simple stuff. We'll see if it works.
I'll reiterate this. I had a great time watching this show. I think it's one of those where, like you say, do not expect world-class matches.
Yeah.
But if you go in with the right anticipation and a bit of, and WWE have a bit of fun with it rather than trying to be something that it's not, this for me is one of the best versions of NXT. Not the best wrestling show, but in terms of NXT, this I could handle this every single week. A bit of some good matches in there, storyline development, big matches being set up, things I can genuinely look forward to, and also people getting home alone.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, I thought it was bad, but entertaining in a way. It was
like that.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't sit here and go, like, this was better than, like, a 4 out of 10 or whatever. But I had a good time watching it because I have no expectations for it to ever be good again. So I'll sit there and watch Cora Jade playing Mousetrap. It is what it is. It's a junk show where you're going to get some perversely entertaining stuff and you'll get the occasional good match. But when the good match happens, you'll actually be let down by it because you want to watch Mousetrap. Yeah, it is what it is. I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to watch than Raw. The past couple of episodes of Raw and SmackDown were.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Load of
let's say it was better, but it was easier to watch.
Exactly, just a load of fun, basically. Let us know your thoughts on it on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Herbert.
Ooh. Could be an alternative name for one of James Drake or Zach Gibson on the main roster.
Herbie.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Andy will be back later on to look ahead to AEW Dynamite. But for now, this has been NXT 2.0 review. My thanks to Andy. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.